Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth.
Drama.
Smooth.
Drama.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word. Want you to holler at me, so give me a call. 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. If you're afraid to give me a call, as always, I ask you, please email me your questions, comments, concerns, smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. You know, of course, I want to hear from you. Once again, that call-in number, 347-826-7435. And the email address is smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. Also, since we're doing that, you know I like to social network with y'all. I want you to hit me up. We can talk a taste on anything. You can join my Facebook group. On Facebook, it's the Smooth Drama Group. Request to get in. Myself or Mr. J will drop you in, and we talk about anything under the sun. And, you know, just last but not least, Google Smooth Drama. Wherever you find Smooth Drama, add me. I'll add you back, and we can talk about whatever. I'm sociable like that. All I ask is that if you add me, say hi. That's all you gotta do. Say hello. I will say hi to you if you say hi to me. I'm nice like that. You don't have to ghost on me. It's all right. I understand how it goes. But just check a brother out. I'm all right. I think. Anyway, countdown to OJ. 2 days. Y'all know. I've been waiting on this one for a while. It's like, I don't know why I'm waiting on it, but I am. I mean, I know what's going to happen. Most of y'all know what's going to happen, but I've seen articles, people talking about, yeah, they're going to let OJ out. Yeah, he's been a model citizen. He's 7 years old. They're going to let him free. They're going to let him out. OJ's been a model. So, they should let him out. You know, every time I read that, I try not to laugh. Because, yeah, he's going to die in jail. If it doesn't happen, I mean, because what we're talking about here is, once again, the luckiest black man on the face of the earth got away with, allegedly, killing 2 white people, gets off. He gets busted this time. Gets the maximum sentence to something that people only get probation for. I mean, if y'all think that, hey, he's going to get off, I if you join my Smooth Drama group, I put a poll up. Yes or no. Is he going to get off? I'm curious to hear from y'all before Thursday. And, you know, you're not on Facebook, you're not my Facebook friend or whatnot, email me. Just email me, smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. Yes or no? I'm curious about what y'all think. I mean, I know what's going to happen. And if it doesn't happen, man, look, I'm going to go streaking naked down my street. That's how confident I am. I will go streaking naked. I will film it streaking naked down my street. That he is not getting out. Yeah. That's how confident I am. Now if he gets out, that's my ass. confident in racism. That's all I'm saying. I'm very confident in the racism that pervades our society. I'm like overconfident, right? Yeah, but hey, I could be wrong, but I don't think so. And while we're talking about being confident, I want to say, ladies, Washington, your government, Washington, D.C., the state of Washington, my bad. The state of Washington is the first state to enact a law that requires law enforcement to alert victims when their abusers attempt to buy a gun. The bill was signed by Washington Governor Jay Inslee in May and will take effect next week on July 23rd. So, dear listener, or you know anybody in the state of Washington that's been a victim of domestic abuse, tell them. Going forward, you're going to know if your ex buys a legal gun. Has to be legal. Obviously, he buys the illegal gun and he comes to kill you. Or she. Because, you know, some of y'all ladies, are crazy. And you'll go and shoot a dude. But mostly, we say 90, I give it a good 98% of the domestic abuse is male on female. And so, if you've been a registered abuser, they're going to hit you up. So, yeah, that courtesy, you get that email. Such and such, Jim tried to buy a gun. He's more than likely going to try to kill you. I mean, it's basically what the email is saying. He's trying to buy a gun because he's coming after your ass. I don't know if you necessarily want to get that email. You just like wake up in the morning, checking your email, and you see that your ex tried to buy a gun. Yeah. It's not what you want to wake up to. But that's just me. It's one of those crazy things. And speaking of crazy things, I saw something, and you know how I like to make analogies. I'm the analogy guy. You know, I like to think that I can link anything and everything, and it's practically, you know, that the conspiracy theorist in me. One of my conspiracy theories. Well, it's not necessarily a conspiracy theory. It's more, ladies, atrophy. Now, atrophy takes all kinds of forms and shapes. But what I'm talking about, vaginal atrophy. Vaginal atrophy. is inflammation, dryness, and thinning of the vaginal walls. It's also known as atrophic vaginitis. And, you know, there are quite a few natural remedies. Now, why am I talking about your vagina? You're like, come on, Mr. F. Henry. Why are you going all pornographic? What you talking about? I'm saying, bear with me. Give me a couple minutes. I get there, you'll be like, oh my goodness, he's amazing. He is so amazing. Watch. Well, first, how to relieve symptoms of vaginal atrophy. First, give up smoking. You know, a lot of y'all be out there, puff, puff, give. You smoking, that's not good for you. It decreases your estrogen, right? Staying sexually active. Says sexual activity increases the flow of blood to the genitals, which in turn helps keep them healthy. And it's important for a woman to allow herself enough time to become sexually aroused. Avoid the perfume products. And, know that certain lubricants and spermicides can irritate your vagina and cause dryness. And also, regular exercise and physical activity. and keeping yourself well hydrated. All right. Now, you know, for men, there's also penile atrophy. Penile atrophy has some of the same symptoms, where, you know, high levels of stress, no sexual activity, also lack of exercise. All of these things help, not flossing, you know, building up the plaque. You know, that plaque that builds up in your teeth also builds up in your veins, and you know, it messes with your blood circulation. Now, why am I talking about this? What in the hell does all this have to do with anything that makes sense? Aside from the fact that I'm just talking nasty. Some people will say, man, it's whatever you want to say. Well, I bring this up because one of the ways that helps, dilutes your, and causes the atrophy on both sides is stress levels. You know, stress is terrible for your sex life. And for men, you know, because testosterone says that you're, and as you lose testosterone and exercise, that causes the atrophy shrinkage. And same for the ladies. No blood flow because of the stress and what you're doing that curtails your activity. I bring this up because, you know, when we're talking about black people in particular, high stress levels. You know, when you're happy, you have cortisol pumping in your system, and it balances all your other hormones. When you're unhappy and you're stressed, you don't have that. So let's just talk about black people in general. And racism and how that happens. What does that have to do with it? You know, elevated stress. We know a little bit about that. The attack. Now, you could say, how can you put them two together, and what does that have to do with race? I mean, well, we've chronicled here on the show all the different ways that you can die. You know, I mean, because I've tried to chronicle the ways that you cannot get shot, and there are always new ways for you to get shot. I mean, we've said you can lay on the ground, get shot, and all the different ways, you know, running from the police, standing still by the police, obeying the law, all of these things, they don't help. That's very stressful. So, when you think about it, as a black man, you know, and I'll speak for myself in general. Maybe I lost a half an inch or an inch over the past few years, decades, because I'm stressed. Why am I stressed? Because you never know when you're going to get pulled over. I mean, I've been pulled over several times, handcuffed by the police. No, those are stressful events. Did it cause some atrophy? I don't know. But when you look at the preponderance of evidence, see, I'm breaking out my big words here. You break out your preponderance of evidence, and you say, in an overabundance of cases, we are arrested. We are stressed, you know, high blood pressure, all these things, hypertension, they're high in the black community. Atrophy exists. Now, see, because you know my argument was, I was like, I would always say, hey, white people, please, if you spent more time having sex with each other and not worrying about what we were doing, maybe there would be you wouldn't be divided. But when you look at it and you start talking about black folks declining acting at a higher level because of the stress, would that be evening it out in some way, shape, or fashion? Maybe, maybe not. But I'm just saying, ladies, message yourselves. What size are you right now? And then come back year to year and see if you have some atrophy. I'm just saying. And then think about next year at this time. This is Smooth Drama Challenge. Measure yourself. See where you are, and then see where you are next year. Is there some atrophy? Is there not some atrophy? I don't know. Could be, maybe not. Is it worth a try? Is it something funny? Yeah. Is it something that's untrue, though? I don't know. Y'all have to think about it. I have. Just a little bit. So, message yourself. And then, this is just July 18, 2017. Come back. Set yourself up a calendar. And measure yourself again, July 18th, 2018. See if you got some attitude. It's worth a shot, right? No? Y'all think so? Am I tripping? Could be. I've been known to trip from time to time. But I think I probably need to go on break, huh? Y'all like, yeah, you tired of hearing you talking this crazy. Maybe I need to stop, but you know I'm not. Anyway, I am going on break. This is Superstition. Thanks, Ghost.
Yo, I swear whenever I'm listening to some Ghostface Killer, the craziest shit be happening to me, man. Stuff you can't even imagine, bro.
I was at the ghost place, listening to ghost face, didn't walk.
Justice. This is how you get embraced and people will love you and buy everything from you, and you become a multimillionaire. Now, the last guy that protested against this country that was kind of famous was Muhammad Ali, right? He wasn't doing that well when he was protesting. Yeah, he was beloved, but was he a multimillionaire? I mean, the stories that we heard was that he was broke. Didn't have that much money. And I'm going to guess, you know, through shrewd investments and smarter people around him, he eked out a living. Because people started loving him when he couldn't talk no more. That's besides the point. When we go back to Kaepernick, you say, how many people are endorsing Kaepernick? What's his brand? See, when I think of bringing out a brand and building your brand, I think of LeVar Ball. Hyping up my son. My son's the greatest. And then your son goes out there and breaks them off. And is looking really good. And he's got them bidding. Thus, building the big baller brand. Now, we compare that to Colin Kaepernick and try to figure out what brand is he building. I was waiting, you know, for him to give an example. Like, Colin Kaepernick can't get a job in the NFL, even though he was like 4 minutes away from winning the Super Bowl. And, I mean, he says it's about his talent. He is not talented enough to play in the NFL. Yeah. That's why he doesn't have a job. Because he's building his brand. Jason Whitlock. Super Negro. Number one. Oh, man. You know, you try to understand why coons do what they do. But you just can't stop. Can't stop yourself. Now, on the other hand, you know, there's a guy that people have a problem with, and I know y'all know about it, R. Kelly. And some people would say R. Kelly is cooning, but when we just say he's a crooner, it's different. Crooner, coon. Coon. Croon is verb singing, he's a singer. Yeah, he got issues. Let's talk about R. Kelly's issues. I mean, the latest thing is that he has a sex cult in that he's holding women hostage in his property across the country. Only this time, you know, it's not no 14, 16-year-olds. They're all grown. You know, it got to the point where one of the girls even came out, Jocelyn Savage, and denies that she's been brainwashed or held captive, as her parents claim. You know, and, you know, she says, I'm not being brainwashed or anything like that. And it was one of the things where when they started looking into the parents, apparently the parents were kind of like asking for some money, something like that. And, you know, it begs the question. Were they mad because R. Kelly had their daughter, or were they mad because R. Kelly had their daughter and wasn't going to pay them? But that's a whole totally different argument. I just, you know, because I'm like, she's grown. Now, there are some other parts of the case that are funny as hell. For example, apparently he has a den mother, or what we would call, in some terms, vernacular, a bottom bitch, who she allegedly trains the newcomers on how to sexually please Kelly. You know, I was sitting up there like, man, R. Kelly is not really that dope. I mean, you start thinking about it for a second, and I mean, I'm no disrespect, lady. I'm talking to the seller. If you had a woman and would train any other women on how to sexually please you, and they all did that willingly, do you say no? Interesting question. You know, and obviously the fellas will have different answers depending on what company they're in, because if it's a room full of fellas, I can almost 99.999% guarantee that they all be like, hell yeah, but if their women are around, nah, man, that's, it just ain't right. What he's doing, it's just wrong, totally. I'm sitting up here saying this because, and you know, people are talking about how he's horrible and he's a bad guy. Yeah, he's an older guy that likes younger women. Only now, all his younger women, they're like grown. They're all over 21, so can't really say too much to it. And unlike those people in Utah, Mormons, where he married them all illegally, R. Kelly's not doing that. And he made sure to keep all their asses out of California so they can't even get him for the common law thing. So y'all don't think he's due. Thank you. Thank you. So none of his, he has no property in California where the people are living, the ladies are living. So, can't get him on that. Because basically it's kind of saying, well, he's doing all of these horrible things to women. He has his sex cult, whatnot. Now, I talk about this because, and you know, people are up in arms, and I saw an article, if you're not mad at R. Kelly, you're failing black women and women in general. You know, I saw the article, I got through like maybe half a paragraph, and I'm like, this is garbage. Because, I mean, wasn't people celebrating Hugh Hefner? Still celebrating Hugh Hefner? Go to the Playboy Mansion every year? It's like the greatest honor. You get to go to the Playboy Mansion. I'm going to guess Hugh Hefner had a den mother, quote-unquote, bottom bitch. And I'm going to guess Hugh Hefner probably had some women trained to sexually please him. I'm a tender guess. I could be wrong. But I doubt if I am. And everybody knows where the Playboy Mansion is. Nobody knows where R. Kelly stuff is. But everybody knows where the Playboy Mansion is. How many protests out front there? Probably not a one. Now, I'm not saying it's right. You know, you don't have to agree with it to understand that, okay, you're going to attack him for it, but you're not going to attack the other one. I mean, we know what it is. But will you admit to it? I mean, R. Kelly is like the worst guy ever. What is he doing? He's having women sexually please him. I mean, that's a crime that you figure a lot of guys is trying to commit. I'm just saying, I could be wrong. I've been wrong a thousand times over. I somehow doubt I'm wrong on this one. Somehow doubt it. What else I'm not wrong about? Hip-hop. According to Nielsen Music, you know how they have that Nielsen report. According to Nielsen Music, hip-hop, R&B is the dominant genre in the United States for the first time, overtaking rock and roll. And, you know, it's like a big article, and people, I'm like reading the comments, oh my God, and you know, there's the racial stuff, and there, but yeah, hip-hop, R&B, and I'm, you know, I got some anger, because I'm like, nah, hip-hop, R&B is the dominant genre. It's like saying that hip-hop and R&B are the same. And I'm like, nah, hip-hop ain't gender fluid. I'm sorry. I know I ain't supposed to say it, but hip-hop ain't gender fluid. Hip-hop and R&B are not the same, as much as y'all want to try and put them together. Fuck that. They are not the same. Hip-hop belong to the people. That R&B, whatever y'all do now, that belongs, that's like that disco shit, that belongs to everybody else. And, you know, when people talk about it, it was like, it's like black culture is taking over. But y'all forget that, if I'm not mistaken, a black man created rock and roll. Remember, black dude? Black man? Yeah, black man create rock and roll. It gets popular, gets overtaken by white people. And, you know, people look at like rock and roll like, oh, it's white people's music. Black man crazy. The truth. So now we talk about hip hop. Hip hop was black folks. Now look at it. It's, oh man, the garbage that it is horrific, right? It's like one of those things you can't even describe. It's horrible. Horrible. So, you know, I saw folks celebrate. Yeah! You know, you read the comments. Yeah! You know, hip-hop, R&B, taking over. I mean, one, like I said, you can't put them two together. Because it ain't the same to me. R&B is, you know, people singing. And, you know, even then, I have different categories. There's soul music, and then there's that other stuff that they play on the radio. And when I think of hip-hop, I think of dudes, and I think of underground dudes spitting hot lyrics, mad at the world. It ain't that shit that they play on the radio. It ain't nothing that for everybody. It's that hardcore b-boy rap shit. Nothing else. And when, you know, folks think of it like that, hey, that's what it is. It is definitely not gender fluid. So when they say hip-hop R&B, that's all I think about. Gender fluid. We're all the same. We're all interblending. Fuck that shit. It ain't no interblending. That's garbage to me. hardcore. So, I'm going to talk about my hardcore, but I'm not going to talk about it. I'm going to let them do it. This is underground. This is my homies. I'm a big upper for my homies. This is the homies. The group formerly known as HISD, Paper Bag Rap.
Paper bag wrapped round inside a crown, an 800 gold can hold, ancient slur. Drunk stumble over curb, out to Nino, Thunderbird, cash Lionel, pop string vinyl. Dirty, they call them dusty, chicken street, lips crushed, ashy, shut the turn damn from off me. Pants cut to the knees, strings dangle, double dust, low to tangle. I make a cold ass football, y'all. Ice cream truck call, find me something, no stench, no change, get on sound bag. Hybrid flows can't come in, quench thirst from water holes. Time to hold it, innocent feet show. House fast as hell in a sample, cookie throw. No edge, lights on, in house. Chicken, chicken, soft rice, blood, bread.
Baby, throw a dollar man in his hand. Peanut butter bread, rockin' them cats. What should I put into your favorite dress? Oh, a flat five, false colors, doing the rock. A new edition in a verse, new kids on the block. Stone rock, shorty, cheating in the short ass. Cheating in the short ass.
Generally, when they talk about prosecuting hate crimes. It's purely about hate. You know, like, in the United States, it's about racial hate. Like, a hate crime is a crime where it's like there's an intense hate and dislike for somebody, and it's unusual. And it's normally a group and an ideology behind it. So, there was a killing. A white University of Maryland student who was accused of killing a black Bowie State student. But they said there are no hate crime charges. And so, although, let's talk about it. Sean Christopher Urbanski, the student who is accused of stabbing and killing black Bowie State student Richard Collins III on May 20th, has been indicted on charges in the crime and will be heading to trial, but won't be facing hate crime charges. You know, he killed the young man 3 days before he was going to graduate. And although the FBI and the local police investigated the killing as a possible hate crime, Prince George's county state attorney, Angela Osselbrooks, said at a news conference that prosecutors were not able to bring hate crime charges against the defense. She said, "We didn't have enough today." Now, important facts. Urbanski was found to be a member of a Facebook group called the Alt-Right Nation. Now, you know, there are the people, if you don't know, Alt-Right is a pseudo-name for white nationalists, KKK, like, you know, people like that, that exist for no other reason than to hate and kill black people and people who are generally a shade darker than them. They don't give a shit. So, and this alt-right nation, I mean, you know who the right was. The right were the Nazis, right? The alt-right nation, their members posted on Facebook, mind you, hateful things about black people and other groups. Although, also Brooks said it was difficult to build a hate crime case, because they only had real evidence that they posted again and again and again. And so she goes on to say, developing a motive is always a challenging aspect of the case. In this case, and in any other case, you can't get it wrong. Now, I don't mean to laugh, but alt-right nation, we hate black people. We post about hating black people and killing black people, wishing black people and other people who are not white would disappear. It's not really enough evidence, apparently. But, you know, that's the Groundhog Day part of this, right? Because, basically, hating black people is not necessarily a hate crime. That's just a part of the American landscape. You know, it's that stuff that Super Coon, Super Negro, Jason Whitlock was talking about. You know, apparently Richard Collins III was promoting himself and branding himself as a black man. And, you know, it wasn't like real racism. He dies for it. Now, I'm not saying that Richard Whitlock, or Jason Whitlock, said that, but, you know, these super coons, when you fight against somebody who's talking about not standing for the national anthem until justice is done for people. These are kind of the cases. Because you look, it's a neo-Nazi group, and the Nazis were known for hating everybody but white people, killing everybody but white people. But for some strange reason, also Brooke and all these other people can't seem to make a connection like this is a hate crime. Because if you make this case, then you have to say that all neo-Nazis and Ku Klux Klan and people that are terrorists and are committing hate crimes, and they don't want to put themselves in jail, which is basically what it is. I mean, there's the truth. And as we said on the show before, if there is absolute evidence, and in this case, it's absolute evidence, right? Because, hell, they have Facebook posts that they've been posting for years. When you got clear, concise evidence, that must mean that they're not guilty. Because that's kind of how we work in the justice system here. You're not guilty if there's evidence against you, if you're alt-right along the lines. But hey, we move on to the big deal. And I'm sure a lot of people have seen and heard about it. The Australian woman who was killed by the officer, she called the police. And they came to the house and shot and killed her. The guy, I mean, they did a whole build-up on him. I hadn't seen the build-up on the guy. Let me give you the details of the case. He is a Somali. You know, he's part of the Minnesota Somali community. He's a policeman, and she's a white woman. And so there are an inordinate amount of articles with this dude, his name, his whole name, his age, how long he's been on the police force, how long he's been in the country, what he's doing, where he's at. I mean, they got a lot of information. And, you know, I'm not commending and I'm definitely not defending the cat because he killed somebody. Another cop killed somebody, but at the same time, it's like, where was all this information for all these other cops who killed black folks? You know? I mean, we're saying if there's going to be extra attention on this guy, what about these other guys? Because to me, they're all equally scum. And I read some of the comments. Now, there are some comments that, there's some comments for it, but one of them in particular that got to, where one guy was like, so will she be marked for? Will folks come out for her? And I'm sitting up there thinking like, well, are you going to march for her? Are you going to come out for her? Because I don't know why black folks are supposed to come out. You know, there's, of course, there are people like, does her life matter? Like, but yeah, her life matters. So are you going to protest against the police? Because I don't know what they think. Black folks are supposed to go out there and protest. I mean, because we already know when Black Lives Matter movement comes out, everybody wants to arrest him. I mean, they've gotten to the point where police prosecutors are prosecuting against the Black Lives Matter protesters, which, you know, it's like you get arrested for protesting, and the prosecutors are showing up in court and trying to get them longer sentences, which, you know, is peculiar. In particular, I mean, it's not peculiar because obviously they're not on the side of law and justice, but the fact that that this happens, you can say it's disturbing, but I mean it's something that we know that the evolution of white supremacy. So I mean, we had a sister, our mentor Jeffries. She was arrested while protesting police brutality. Then the police department came in. The police lawyer stepped in to prosecute a jaywalking charge against her. Now, I don't know if you've ever been to, like, traffic court, whatnot. You know, if you like a parking ticket, if the policeman doesn't show up, you know, ticket gets thrown out. I've never heard of a prosecutor showing up for a jaywalking charge, because most people don't think of jaywalking as a serious offense. But apparently, jaywalking is something that police prosecutors are paying close attention to. Now, I bring this up because, you know, as that comment said, will she be marched for, will folks come out for her? Yeah, y'all come out for her. And I'd be curious to hear, are some of the white marchers who I'm watching, and you know, I'm hoping you're paying attention too. Will the white marchers be arrested for, I mean, if they even show up? Because I'm curious to see, in Minnesota, will y'all march for her? Because we not. We shouldn't. I mean, although they'll try to say, well, how come y'all not marching? It's like, well, why are you not marching? You know, why? Why we got to march for you? Yeah, that's the question. I'll be curious to see if any of those protesters get charged with jaywalking and have a police prosecutor show up in a jaywalking case. A jaywalking case. That is a hardcore racism right there. You know, let's just look at the facts. And we will follow the facts. I know we're all waiting on OJ, but I'm waiting to see the good white people in Minnesota. We know they're going to protest that cop, but I mean, are you going to protest all the other cops? I guess we'll find out. On that note, I am Mr. F the N-Word, and this is another Smooth Ground production. I am out. Peace.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth.
Drama.